Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, the Thursday morning Bible study watched the movie Godspell. Have any of you seen Godspell from the 1970s? Based on the Gospel of Matthew. It is really from the 1970s. At the beginning of the show, John the Baptist comes walking into the city and he's singing, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord." Somebody's singing it here, yeah? Then we begin to see various people in the middle of their ordinary lives in the city. There's a taxi driver stuck in traffic. There's a waitress. A dancer is practicing with her partner, and an artist walking with her portfolio. Each one begins to see a vision of John, to hear him singing. And then each one walks away from their work. The portfolio gets thrown aside, the apron taken off, and they all head for Central Park. They gather at Bethesda Fountain, where they are joined by Jesus. John baptizes them all, and when they leave the fountain, they are following Jesus. It made me think again of the disciples in the gospel stories walking away from their lives to follow Jesus. It made me realize how my familiarity with these stories in the Bible has made it feel almost normal to me, but watching that set into contemporary life highlighted just how incredible, how radical it is for them to walk away from their lives to follow Jesus. Our lessons this morning are two stories of people who encountered God and their lives were never the same. Their experience of God caused them to follow God into new actions, reflecting the inner reality that their very lives were beginning anew. First is the story told by Isaiah about how he became a prophet. One day he went to the temple to pray and worship, and on that day he says, "I saw the Lord." In Isaiah's vision, God sits on his throne, and indeed the sanctuary of the temple was considered God's throne room. But the temple, the center of worship in Judah, built by Solomon as a glorious place of worship for God's people, holds only the hem of God's robe. Heavenly beings surround the throne, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the foundations of the temple shake, and Isaiah is afraid. He knows he is sinful and unclean before God, and he cries out. But God offers forgiveness, cleansing his lips with a live coal. And then God asks, "Who will go to speak for me?" And Isaiah, whose life has just been made new by a gift of grace and a glimpse of God's glory, responds, "Here I am, God, send me." He will spend the rest of his life as a prophet. He proclaims judgment on God's people in their unfaithfulness and inviting them to return to the God who loves them still. Another time, another place, another story. A man named Simon is cleaning his nets after an unsuccessful night of fishing. He and his companions have put in a long night of work, and they're probably looking forward to breakfast and rest. But when Jesus asks them to take him out on their boat, they agree. Simon has met Jesus before, when Jesus visited his home and healed his mother-in-law. So he knows something about Jesus, and he's probably heard stories as well about Jesus healing people and casting out demons and preaching through Galilee. And so when Jesus comes, followed by a great crowd wanting to see and hear him, Simon puts his weariness aside and gets back on the boat. It is a decision which will change the course of his life. Jesus speaks to the crowds from the boat. When he is finished, he tells Simon to go back out in the boat and cast his nets. Simon argues at first, explaining that he's been out all night already. But he finally agrees, saying, "On your word, Jesus, I will go again." They let down the nets, and soon the nets are full. In fact, there are more fish than they have ever caught before. There are so many fish, the boat can't hold them all, and even when another boat comes to help, they are both so weighed down with fish that it looks like they may sink. Simon is amazed. Suddenly, he knows he is witnessing the power of God. And just as suddenly, he becomes aware of how limited and sinful he is, and he feels unworthy to be in the presence of Jesus. "Go away," he says. But Jesus has something else in mind. "Do not be afraid," he says. "From now on, you will be catching people." And then the real miracle happens. When the boat reaches land, this boat full of more fish than they've ever caught before, Simon and his partners, James and John, walk away from it and follow Jesus. Jesus never gives the familiar invitation to follow me that we hear in other gospels. He just announces that Simon has a new vocation. And Simon leaves his old life to begin a new one. Soon, he will have a new name to reflect his new life. Jesus will call him Peter, the Rock. Isaiah saw God in the temple, and from that day, he had a new life as a prophet. Simon saw God present in Jesus, and from that day, he had a new life as a disciple, following Jesus and learning from him, and as an evangelist, telling other people about Jesus. Both of them are called not just to believe in Jesus, but to put their belief into action. They change their lives to do the new work God has given them to do. Friends, we too are called to put our belief into action, to move beyond believing in God revealed in Jesus Christ, to becoming followers of Jesus and evangelists who tell others what we know about Jesus, and prophets who cry out for justice. We may hear God in prayer or in the words of Scripture. We may see God in our neighbor who is unhoused or seeking asylum. And for some of us, a call means following a radical new path. For others, following Jesus means staying the course day by day, remaining faithful to responsibilities, and serving God in whatever places we work and live. 2 years ago, coming into the new year, I had been serving here at All Saints for 6 years. I was finally feeling like we were on top of things after the pandemic. That took a while, folks. My sons were getting older, 2 in high school and 1 graduated. That winter, the readings and the sermons I preached about them kept coming back to the theme of taking risks, of moving out of one's comfort zone for the sake of the gospel. I heard myself saying the words week after week, and I wondered what they might mean in my life, where my life was facing new challenges. I had met a few pastors in Denver who served as chaplains, a police chaplain and a military chaplain, and I was intrigued. I had also met the head chaplain for the Albuquerque Police Department here in town, and I was interested but also wary. That whole world of policing, of hierarchy and carrying weapons and wielding power and facing physical threat on a daily basis is so foreign to me. But I kept hearing the words of Scripture calling me to move out of my comfort zone, and so I took the next step. I did the training and I started shadowing the head chaplain on her calls. I've served as a chaplain for almost 2 years now, and it has indeed stretched and challenged me. I don't like wearing the uniform. I do like listening to the police radio when I drive around in the black chaplain truck. The calls that we respond to as chaplains are always when someone has died. Someone has died unexpectedly, and the police are there, and the chaplain comes to support the family with comfort and prayer, to listen, to share information about what will happen next, and perhaps do a go-between between the officers and the family members. The hardest calls are overdoses and suicides and occasional homicides. I often wonder, who am I to show up in these people's lives in these most terrible, most vulnerable moments? What am I doing here? But when I put myself aside and stop worrying about saying or doing the right thing, I remember that I am simply there to listen, to be present, to be a reminder with that name of chaplain that God is present as we talk and pray and wait. A lot of waiting with the police. It's holy work, and it is a privilege to be part of it, even when it's hard. When we encounter God, when we experience the gift and power of God's presence, or hear God's voice in Scripture, we are changed. We are invited into new life as followers of Jesus, whether or not our daily work changes. We too may feel unworthy, not good enough, not smart enough, not the right person for this, God. But like with Isaiah and Simon Peter, God offers forgiveness and grace and all that is needed when God invites us to come just as we are. Whatever our gifts and experience and responsibilities take us day by day, we are invited to share God's love in the world. God's work, our hands, our voices. We follow with acts of service and with the work of advocacy, with giving and caring and lifting our voices on behalf of others. As the culture around us becomes more comfortable with division and discrimination, with explicit racism and transphobia, with leaving people hungry and hurting in our midst, it becomes even more important for us to give voice to God's love and mercy for all who our nation's leaders would exclude. As followers of Jesus, the ones who crossed boundaries and tore down walls, we are invited to give witness to one God who has created every person in God's own image and loves each one with tenderness and mercy. God's question remains, who will speak my word of love and peace and justice to a fearful world? Who will care for people in their lives and around the world? Who shall I send? And God waits, full of grace and steadfast love, for each of us to respond, here I am, God. Send me. Amen.